Last time, on Taverns and Caverns, we interrogated the acolyte that I brought back to the caverns, and with some convincing, we were able to make him squeal. Thanks to the clues we came across in Miyazu, we came to the realization that Rassler and his followers were mixing some kind of mind-altering drug known as Verdant Whispers. I've never heard of this drug, but apparently it's an illegal drug from the lands of Tirister. After the interrogation, we chose to go through a hidden underpass near the coast that would lead us to the lower levels of the shrine. However, it seemed something was waiting for us in the darkness of the caverns. We have nothing to fear, for the might of Nimwa is on our side. Episode 95, A Forgotten Deity.
Stella, you and Yome hear something shifting in the shadows to the north of you. And within moments, I have to make another roll. That's going to be a 25. Hota, what is your AC?
Oh, no. 15.
All right. 25 definitely hits. From the shadows to the north comes this long, slimy, tongue-like object. You all, the two of you, I should say, see the tongue wrap around Hota. And as it does so, Hota, you're going to take some damage, my man.
Oh, God damn it!
As this tongue wraps around you, you feel yourself taking damage. It's not physical, though. You do find yourself taking a type of damage. And you'll be taking, that is going to be 11 points of necrotic damage.
Oh.
I need you to make me a strength saving throw. Do not fail.
Oh, man. Hold on. Hold on.
Right. Do you need one, a bardic inspiration die?
One goddamn moment. I'm going to use the fortune of the many, so I'm adding a +3 to this. Whatever I get.
I'm giving you a bardic inspiration just in case. What are we, fifth level now?
Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, it is now a D8.
Add a D8?
Yep. To right. Yeah.
All right.
Didn't need it.
Didn't.
Damn. All right. That's a natural 20.
So I didn't need the fortune of the many.
So
hold on to that.
Yep.
The tongue that is what you think is a tongue that is around you, you passed. So you can feel that tongue attempts to pull you in towards wherever it came from the shadows. And at this point, we're going to make rolls for initiative. We're going into combat. So, click on your character and roll me initiative, guys. It is time to get down and dirty. Where is Taraki's character sheet?
Leroy's going last again.
And Yome with a 4. Goddamn. All right, so Taraki's got a 16. Stella's a 21. Hota's an 18. Roy an 11. Yome with a 4. And then I will roll for Homeboy. I'll roll on here. 16. So same round as Taraki, but Taraki has a higher dex, so we will go with Taraki. All right, so Hota, you feel that tongue attempting to pull you towards it, but you're able to fight it off and stand your ground. As you look to the side, this thing got the jump on you guys because your passive perceptions did not pass what it needed to. But you can see in the distance to the north, on top of the ledge, it's about 10 feet above you on this second platform. You see this creature. It looks like a deformed toad. It is bipedal, standing on 2 feet with two buff-like arms as its mouth is wide open with its tongue around you.
Oh, no.
And as it's looking at you, it has these yellow eyes that are glowing, and parts of its skin look like they're melting, but not. It is definitely a toad-like aberration creature. Your guess is it's a Yaksha of some kind. You just don't know at this point, but it's not a creature you've ever seen in your life. Your initial instinct is the corruption of Moritai got to a toad at some level.
Oh, I thought it was a monster you've been waiting on using like a slide.
No, it's not. It's not our boy. It's not our boy from the side story, all right? What did I name him?
Bud Light.
Not Bud Light. Nope. Bud Light.
Bud
this
Light.
This thing looks way worse. The mouth that's open, you can see the chin under the jaws is this giant blob with warts all over it. Its gut is hanging out, and it has these sharp fangs. Typically, the toads don't have fangs, but this thing has sharp fangs as it's glaring at you. And attached to its beefy arms on its hands are these massive claws that look fairly sharp, as if they could probably cut through armor. And as its tongue still is around you, you just hear a sound coming from the shadows. And it's going to use this moment because it can't pull you towards it, Hota. It decides to move instead towards you. As it steps forward, you all realize it does something you were not expecting. It vanishes as it steps forward into the shadows. It is using Shadow Step.
Mm-hmm.
Or Shadow, I should say. Yeah, we'll call it Shadow Step. It uses the shadows to travel and teleport within a certain distance. And as it does so, it teleports right behind you, Hota.
Oh.
With your tongue still, or its tongue still wrapped around you. It is going to attack you again with a claw attack. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is a... That's a 20.
Uncanny dodge!
I forget what that do again.
Halves the damage, I can
Halves see. The damage. All right, so you are taking 12 points of slashing damage.
All right.
And as you take that slashing damage, it glares at you. And that's all it's going to do. It is now going to be the start of the first round where you all can now do something. Hota, you are still considered grappled by the tongue, by the way.
Oh, great.
So, Stella, you see what's going on. What are you doing?
Stella's disgusted. She's looking up as this thing is casting a shadow and flailing around its disgusting tongue. I don't like you. Please leave. And she's going to cast Fear.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well, Fryan, so it has to beat a spell save DC of 15. Each creature in perfect coma succeed on a wisdom saving throw or drop whatever it's holding and become frightened.
Okay. Say 16, right?
Yeah, a spell save. Oh. It's a wisdom 16. So let's see what its wisdom is. All right. So I'll roll it here. So that's a plus 2 to this. Oh. Did I roll that right? Yeah. All right. So it got a shitty roll, as you all can see. So it is. Oh, wait a minute. Make me a insight check, Stella.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. As you cast your fear spell, you see the eyes stares at you, Stella. I just saw it has a condition immunity. It is not frightened.
Yikes. All right. Oof.
It is immune to your fear spell.
Well, Stella goes, fuck! And she runs her damn self.
She runs her damn self.
Behind Taraki because he's big scary.
All right. Taraki looks over at Stella running past him. He looks over at the toad creature.
I don't know what it is. It looks like a goddamn Yaksha. Show it no mercy.
Hota, you find yourself still wrapped around the tongue, so you are considered grappled. You may attempt to attack it or attempt to escape.
Well, Hota looks back at Stella, cranes his head over, and sees her dipping. All right, get back here. Get this thing off me. It's trying to struggle snuggle me. So he's going to use his help action on himself and give himself temporary hit points.
Okay.
Let's see, 1d6 plus 1D6. 3. 1d6 plus 3. All right.
All right.
So go ahead and add that. Oh, all right. Yeah, health. And then that was a bonus action. I'm going to swing at its tongue with the scimitar.
Okay.
Get the hell off me. It says no.
Oh, that's 12. You attempt to slash at it with your scimitar. However, being grappled, you find it very difficult to really move your arms in a way to get you the correct motion to harm it. Your scimitar just bounces off of its rubber-like skin as it just croaks.
Disgusting. Help!
You see why I ran?
Help!
Help! Anything else, Hota?
No.
Okay.
This is revenge for how you catcall all those women. Get tongue down.
Yeah, pretty much. Fair enough.
Taraki, he looks over at it.
All right, big ugly. Let's do this.
And he's going to run forward towards it to try and help Hota out. And he's a monk, so he's going to get 3 punches in as he attempts to hurt the damn thing. So let's do an arm strike. Let's see, 3 of them. Unfortunately, they all fucking miss. You see, as he charges, he begins to punch into the gut, the oversized gut of this toad-like creature. You see Taraki's fist bounce off as the gut just jiggles.
What is the meaning of this? The thing is tough.
And that's all he can do. I'm sorry, Hota, but you are currently grappled by its tongue, which means it gets a free attack to attempt to bite you.
No!
Because you're within 5 feet. I'm a roll. Fuck it. I roll an 18 plus its strength. That's definitely going to hit you.
Oh.
This might hurt. You'll be taking 5d6 damage.
Oh!
That is going to... Oh!
What do you mean, oh?
That's 2 sixes plus.
That laugh.
What the fuck was that, Ron?
My bad.
He said, finally, someone else.
You're taking 18 points of piercing damage.
Ooh.
So as it bites you,
I'm hurt.
If the attack hits, you all see Hota is beginning to get pulled into the mouth of the toad. It begins to swallow Hota. Hota, your head is pulled forward as you go face down with your legs upwards into the giant maw of this toad-like creature as it begins to swallow you. As you are swallowed, you're going to take necrotic damage.
Oh, no.
You are taking... Ooh, I rolled low. 4 necrotic damage.
Oh, boy, I'm hurt.
You are considered restrained while inside the guts of this toad yaksha. Now, it can only have one creature swallow at any given time, which is good. And it can regurgitate you at any time it wants. No action required. But you are considered, basically, restrained until... You either escape or someone gets you out. Now, for you to escape or whatnot, basically how it works is for every round that the Yaksha's turn comes, the beginning of each round, you take more necrotic damage.
I'll be down on his turn then. I got 5 HP.
All right. So let's see what happens. That's all it can do with its bite and its its tongue. And Yome, you see Hota just get swallowed whole. I'm going to put Hota in the same block as the toad. Hota has been swallowed, Yome. What are you doing?
Does that mean I can't healing word him?
You have to touch him to... No, healing word is distance, right?
See.
Do you have to see him?
You can see within range.
You cannot see him. He is inside the gut of this toad.
I don't know. I think the other cure is he touching. Yeah. Oof, Hota, you got fucked.
Thanks.
Now, Hota, you can still, you know, get out. It's just, it's going to be a lot of work from your party members.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Now, remember, Hota, while you are restrained, you automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws. You can't move. Your speed becomes zero. Your attack rolls basically have disadvantage if you attempt to attack it from inside.
Oh, man. And
you have disadvantage on dex saving throws.
Gotcha.
Hota's pretty much fucked.
Yeah, I'm in bad shape.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what to do for him. Right, where am I? I'm good. I'm going to cast Spirit Guardians.
Okay, what's that do? You call forth spirits to protect you. They flit around you in distance of 15 feet for the duration. If you're a good or neutral, their spectral form appears angelic or fey. Your choice. If you're evil, they appear fiendish. When you cast a spell, you can designate any number of creatures you can see to be unaffected by it. An affected creature's speed is halved in the area, and when the creature enters the area for the first time or on a turn starts, it must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature takes 3d8 radiant damage.
If I cast it, it has to do the wisdom saving throw, right?
Yes. Because
it's in the area?
Yes, okay. Correct. On a successful save, the creature takes half as much damage. So it makes a wisdom saving throw. Oh, I rolled 5. It's going to fail.
Okay, so 3d8 radiant damage.
Correct.
Please roll fire.
Oh, that's pretty good. 16 points of radiant damage. You can see your radiant energy begin to burn this toad-like creature's skin. Again, you're assuming it's a yaksha as it howls out, or I should say ribbits out in agony.
Oh. Nasty.
Yes. And that was that was your action, so any bonus actions. And that's a concentration spell, so it will looks like it happens, every round if it's in that area?
Well, I think it just does, it's like when it enters the area.
Oh, okay.
So, he stays halved, his speed.
Okay. Yeah, it's whenever it enters the area. Okay. Okay. And you can make it to where it doesn't affect allies, too. Cool.
Yeah. So then I'm also going to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Okay. So I'll make a copy. Where do you want it? Here, you can move it.
Just put it behind the... Okay.
Blue icon is your spiritual weapon.
It helps where you... Well, I don't want it behind Hota, but... All right. Inside of him.
Okay. So it appears you can attack with it. Make that swing.
Okay. So then...
Oh, that will hit.
Nice.
5 force damage. Hey, we'll take every little bit of damage.
Yeah.
All right.
Quickly, you've got to kill this thing quick. Hota's getting eaten.
Yeah. So, Yome, you're able to dish out 21 total points of damage to it. Very nice. Do you move anywhere or do you stay where you're at?
Great question. I'll stay where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Roroy, you see your ally just get gobbled up. What are you doing, man?
First, he's casting his armor on. Heavy metal!
He said it was a toad! Heavy metal! Fuck! Is that a bonus action or
a free action? It's a bonus action.
Okay.
And then shoot a firebolt at it.
Okay.
So, have you ever wanted to start your own podcast and just had no clue on where to begin? Fear not, for we at Taverns and Caverns are here to help you. Before we began the Taverns and Caverns podcast, we originally had a few members who wanted to learn the game of Dungeons & Dragons. With three of the four players being new to the game, we decided to make a podcast of it just for fun, and to possibly encourage others to try the game for themselves. Starting a podcast can seem daunting, but we're here to tell you that it can be simple with an all-in-one tool. It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are now over, my friend. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code TAVERNSCAVERNS, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. And with that, let us continue our campaign.
19 will hit for 15 fire damage. Good stuff.
Ota, don't croak on us.
You shoot out a firebolt and it slams against the large circular chin of this toad-like creature. And as your fire dispersed against its chin, it begins to jiggle in place.
Badass.
Anything else for Roy? Do you move anywhere?
He's going to move closer. He's going to try to see what he can do to try to help Hota out.
Okay. It's the second round now. Start of the second round. Stella, you have the go. You see what's going on.
She peeks from behind the box from which she ran. Oh, God. She sticks her hand up. She just doesn't like this thing. It's creeping her out. So she's going to cast Cloud of Daggers. Second level. And yeah. So it's just 13 slashing damage.
Okay. So Cloud of Daggers. That's a 5-foot cube. On top of it, I'll draw the little box on him right there. So, Cloud of Daggers. So, he has to make me... Oh, no, it's instant damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 13 slashing damage. Nice. You see your Cloud of Daggers begins to cut into the rubber-like flesh, drawing some of this black, oozy blood, which automatically is an indication that it is most likely a Yaksha.
Fiend! And she ducks back behind the box. She goes, okay. And then she runs up next to Yome.
I'm back. I had to go to the bathroom.
All right. It is now Hota's turn. Hota, remember, you don't take the necrotic damage until the start of its turn. So you can attempt to attack. That's really all you can do. You can't move.
I'm going to use my last help action and give myself some HP back.
Okay.
Hospitality.
All right. 4 HP return to your pool.
Oh boy. Couldn't give me some more.
I know that feeling.
All right. 4 it is. And I guess I can try to escape.
Let's see here.
Or I can't escape on my own.
You can't technically escape on your own. All you can do is attempt to attack it, but you have a disadvantage.
Anything I can do. Yeah, we're going to use... Yeah, we use the scimitar. Try to stab at it. Stab something. Swing rod.
All right. Remember, you have a disadvantage, so roll that again.
Nice.
Oh! You are able to hit it. You have a 26 and a 29 with that crit, but obviously it's a disadvantage. So roll your damage. 11 points of slashing damage from inside. You take your scimitar and you're just attempting to cut open whatever you can to get out as if you were Ricardo Valdez inside the two-headed T-Rex.
Would my sneak attack damage go with it if people are around?
No, I would say no, only because with you being, because you have total cover. So I would say that won't be sneak attack damage.
You hating.
Because technically you did not have advantage on that attack.
Well, it says I don't need advantages on attack roll if another enemy is within 5 feet of it that is incapacitated.
You don't need advantage on the attack roll if another enemy of the target is within 5 feet of it. That enemy is incapacitated, and you don't have disadvantage on the attack roll.
Oh, I got this.
Yeah, you had disadvantage.
Okay, so never mind.
If it wasn't for the disadvantage, you would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth a shot.
Yeah, worth a shot.
I think that's me.
All right. It's Taraki's turn then. So Taraki, he looks up at it. He flexes his arms, and he's going to attempt to go to town again. And he will spend a key point to get 4 attacks in.
Nice.
All right, an 8, 22. He hits with the last 3. So you just see he begins to go fucking Kenshiro on this motherfucker. What? And he deals 4, 8, and 9 damage to the frog or toad-like Yaksha. And he's not down, but you can see that he's leaving dents into the stomach of this fleshy toad.
Damn bastard is tough.
And that's all he can do. It is now its turn, unfortunately. You're going to take instant damage, Hota.
Yeah.
And you will be that is 5, 6... That's 8 points of damage, necrotic damage.
Oh, my God. 1 HP.
Oh, God. Jesus. Oops.
Oh, listen. There we go.
All right.
Yeah, and I got 1 HP.
It looks at you all, and it croaks out, and it's using its shadow step to avoid Roroi and Taraki. Yome and Stella, you feel this gust of wind behind you. As it shadow steps behind the two of you.
And oh, can you take damage? Because you started your turn there?
Yes, so roll the damage.
His speeds have too, don't forget. Don't make him speedy.
Nah, he didn't move very far.
What is it, 44?
Yeah, he only moved, let's see, 5 to 15 feet. So yeah, he's got
two fucking 30. Ones. He took 7 damage.
Oof, all right. So the blades deal additional damage. He's not down, but he's beginning to bleed out this blood ichor or this black ichor. Yome and Stella, you see this giant toad appear behind you, and it's large, so it's standing over you guys. Its tongue is going to shoot down at Yome. Yome, I just rolled 19 total. Does that hit you?
It just hits. Yeah. Oof.
Okay. So you'll I'm be lucky. Taking. As you are now grappled, considered grappled by the tongue, you're going to be taking the necrotic damage. Oh! 12 points of necrotic damage. Okay. And make me a strength save. All right, you got it. You needed a 15. So you're not pulled into the jaws of his mouth. He can't swallow more than one person, but obviously it's attempting to try. It's hungry. So with that, it takes its claw and it slashes down at Stella.
Please, no.
23 total.
Nope. Sorry, no.
Okay. So you will take 10 points of slashing damage. And with that, it is the end of its turn. Yome, it is now your turn.
Okay. Is Hota still in his belly?
Yes, Hota is still in his belly. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. 1 HP.
I can't heal you when you're in there, dog.
No pressure, though.
You gotta get out.
I believe in you.
Get out. Get out of there.
Being swallowed sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned that from Voldis.
Yep.
I'm going to do Guiding Bolt.
Okay.
Oh, that is...
24. That will hit.
On hit, the target takes 4d6.
Oh!
Yes.
And the next roll made against your target before the end of your next turn has advantage.
Okay, so the next attack has advantage.
So all if right. I cast this at second level or higher, the damage increases 1d6. So I can cast it up to 3?
Yeah, third level.
So,
do it.
It's 46 plus... It's 4d6 in general, and then I can add
another d6 to it, right? So you increase it. For every level you increase it, it adds 1d6.
So it's 6d6.
Yeah. Because you're casting at third level.
God!
Nice.
Damn!
I'm trying to save Hota.
Nice.
I don't know why.
Right? Facts. You can tell him you saved him.
Facts. He owes me. Praise me.
That is 26 total points of damage as your guiding bolt zips through the air right into the guts of the toad. You see a hole burn through its gut. And as the hole burns through, it goes... As the tongue around you begins to loosen, and as that hole begins to increase in size, Hota falls out of it with slime and ooze all over his body. You're now prone on the ground, Hota. And as the hole allows you to escape, it drops to his hands and knees as it's coughing up the black blood as it reaches up to try and slash at whoever's closest to it. And as it does so, you can see the black ichor pouring out of its gut begins to form into hands attempting to grab back onto Hota. But before it can do so, the toad drops to the ground dead as it begins to melt in place.
Oh, man.
Good shit.
Oh.
You all right, Hota?
Oh, man. I'm over here sweating, man. Jesus.
Taraki's breathing heavily.
I got a greater potion for you.
He picks himself off the floor. Oh boy. Who just saved me?
The priestess did with a guiding bolt of energy, it would seem.
She's got that smug look like Naga from what is that? Slayers? Oh. You know, where she laughs. She's got that smug face where she's like, oh, ho, 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 ho.
You almost saved me.
Stella's jumping. I get damage.
He's getting up and he's just going to limp over to the group slowly.
Are you all right, Hota? Looks like you've seen better days.
Yeah, you might need a shower. Don't come too close.
Oh, I'm close.
You're covered in its filth. It's disgusting.
Well, better than being covered in dirt, you know what I mean?
That is true. As Yome would say, period.
I don't know about you, Chief.
What do you mean you don't know about me?
I don't know.
According to Hota,
quoting Yome like you've known her long? She's our friend. Just kidding, I'm kind of jealous. You can hang out sometimes, but when Omut comes back, you gotta beat the bricks.
I don't know what beat the bricks means, or...
Get away!
Who is this Omut?
He's our friend.
A brother of mine. Can I get some healing? Oh, I'm hurt.
Wait, before you use any of those potions, that thing was pretty tough. It hurt a couple of you. Perhaps we should take a short rest here before we sneak into the shrine. We don't know what else is in the shrine or in this passage. Or
I
we
agree.
Can take the potion and we can skip the rest.
I vote on that short rest.
Hulk is already laying down near the boxes.
Way less.
Period.
Yep. So you said rest. He was already lowering himself towards the boxes.
Both have been asleep.
We get half our spell slots.
So with the short rest, you'll gain half your spell slots back. Also, remember, if you are missing HP, you have hit die up to your level. So you all have 5 hit die of whatever the HP is for your class.
Mm-hmm.
You can decide to use all 5 hit die to restore HP, or you can choose to hit half of your hit die to restore HP automatically. But you have to roll it. So If you want to use some hit die, let me know how much you're using and roll that hit die.
HP. I'm probably going to use all five.
All five? All right. Go ahead and roll me your hit die. Five of them. There you go.
Yes.
21 plus 12.
Going to do four.
Go ahead and heal yourself. As you all are sitting down resting, Roy heals himself for 20. Todaki, he didn't get touched, so he's walking around the perimeter just making sure there aren't any more of these Yaksha in the shadows as you're resting. But is anyone else, Stella or Yome, do you either one of you want to use your hit die to heal any?
Does that matter? What do I roll?
Just click on the hit die.
Oh.
If you want to use all of your hit die or half your hit die, you can use one hit die. Don't matter.
No, I feel like...
Because if you use all of your hit die, you won't be able to use any more of it if you rest again until you get a long rest.
Yep. I needed it.
Yep. All right, so looks like Stella...
One more.
Stella healed up 23, and Yome for 18 points of damage.
I'm also going to use my defensive field as well.
Okay. So as you're all sitting there, you can see Hota, he's laying on the ground, hurt, relaxing.
Snoring.
Taraki comes back from, scouting the perimeter.
I didn't see any more of these toad-like Yaksha. I think we're safe for now. How are you all doing? Particularly Hota. You all right, friend?
Hota is snoring.
Never mind. He's passed out.
Never mind.
Is that him punching the bricks? Did I use that phrase correctly?
Not at all.
No.
Oh.
No, so that's hit. Though. Yeah. I guess some people say hit the bricks as like, oh, I'm going to hit the hay. Like, they're going to go to sleep.
I understand hitting the hay.
Yeah, or sometimes somebody may tell you to kick rocks. You know what that one means?
What's that mean?
Go away.
I see. So if I said, kick the rocks to you, that would mean for you to leave in a derogatory way.
Yeah, just say, beat the block, bitch. Get up and through. Bye.
Wait a minute, you said that too quickly. Beat the...
I'll write it down.
Beat the rock, bitch. Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. These are phrases from Tirister, I assume. I've never heard anyone here in Shimada or Ashai say such things.
You may not. But you could be the first. You could start trends.
Very well. The next one we kill, I'll say bye, Felicia.
Looking forward to it. More than you know.
Good.
He sits down. He's going to begin to rest a bit. Because, a short rest is a couple hours. It's nothing too long. But as you all rest, nothing else comes your way. And you're able to regain some of that HP back and half your spells. And after a couple hours go by, Taraki just sits back up and he stands. Well, and he cracks his neck.
Let's get going. Remember the guards we knocked out back in those water supply area and the food storage. They're on a timed basis. I doubt the other guards have come by to take their spots, so we don't have much time left. Once they find out those guards are knocked out, they're going to be searching the whole place. Let's not waste any more time.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, he's getting up.
Yeah, they were knocked out.
Why do you sound so nervous?
No reason. Let's keep going. How's your nap?
Taraki points at Baroy, like the villain from Bloodsport pointing at Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Damn.
You just did a bye, Felicia, to those guards, didn't you?
Shit.
They're not knocked out. I can see it in your eyes. you killed those poor souls.
Yeah, as my father used to say, they are sleeping with the fishes.
Your father in the mafia?
Sleeping with the fishes. Your father said sleeping with the fishes. Doesn't he know fishes is not the correct word for multiple? It's just fish.
I don't know.
Sleeping with the fish.
How my dad used to talk. He is also from Tirister, so I don't know.
That he used bricks for shoes as well on people? And then walk him into the sea?
I don't know. He doesn't talk about his past.
No, I'm sure.
That's pretty dark. Tying bricks to people's feet in the sea. That's some hardcore shit right there.
I believe they call them cement shoes. Please don't
give Taraki ideas.
Leroy's going to whisper under his breath. It's no better than breaking people's legs and leave them by the water.
You said you whispered that?
Yes.
I'm going to make a roll.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say, roll the still.
I'll roll an 18.
Oh, no.
Unless you want to roll something, Roy.
I'll roll.
Just roll. What would that be? Technically, it wouldn't be a stealth, but just do roll a stealth.
Sucks at that, so.
Oh!
I heard that, you know.
I'm sorry.
I think we all heard that.
Why are you apologizing? You said what you said. Be a man and own up to it.
I'm a man. I'm grown.
Don't apologize to me of what you said. I just asked you if that's what you said.
Let's go.
Very well.
Is
there anything else we need to do here before we press on? I remind you, I think we're getting close to the shrine. We'll be arriving in the bottom portions of the shrine. I think it leads us to one of the storerooms. There shouldn't be anyone in that room unless Rassler and his acolytes happen to use it for something else. Who knows? Expect the unknown.
You got it.
Very well. Come with me. And he begins to walk down the path. Now, there's only one way to go other than the way you came. And as you continue down this cavern, it leads you down another narrow corridor. And that corridor is another slope that leads upwards, as if you're moving up these cliffs. And as you eventually reach the end of the slope, it takes you through a small tunnel, which leads to a wall. And along this wall, there are burnt out torches that are along the wall. They're burnt out, unused, still dark. But the wall, there is a door you spot. And along the door, it looks like it's another wooden door. And Taraki leading the way, he stops once you guys get to the end of where this door happens to be. Now, the door is not nearly as withered or decrepit as the one outside. Obviously, this one's inside the shrine, so it's not. It has not succumbed to the elements of the outdoors. So it is still fairly intact, but you can see its parts of it are dusty and some of it might have. The wood is fairly decent. It's not chipped or anything like that. But Taraki looks at the four of you as he places his hand on the handle of this door. We don't know what's on the opposite side of this door. I am going to just crack it slightly and take a peek. Are you all right with that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Looking at Roy.
Roy looks around, trying to figure out what Hoach is looking at.
I'm looking at you, killer.
Not killer.
So he cracks the door open very slightly. I'm going to make a roll. Okay. Oof. He rolled a 15. So he's fairly stealthy about it. But as he opens this wooden door, you all can see there is some light that begins to pour in through the doorway. However, the doorway is blocked. It is hidden. It looks like it's blocked behind some kind of tapestry or a painting. The door is along a wall behind this painting. However, you guys can see through parts of the painting. There are holes in this painting that you're able to peek through. And Toraki looks through these holes and he waves his hand over to the four of you.
Shh. Rassler is there. But come, you can see and take a peek.
And as you all step forward, you can hear voices as people are walking into the room. You hear Rassler speaking with another individual who you have heard before, and his brother Faust. I'm going to reveal the map really quick of where you guys are. It's going to be to the left of the current map. Where is the reveal? And as Rassler is walking down these stairs into this, what looks like a storeroom, you guys can't see the entire room because you're looking through these small holes through this painting. It's a fairly large painting that you guys are looking through. But Rassler is stepping down through these stairs with Brother Faust and two other individuals. And Toraki's eyes widen as he sees his sister there, as well as another individual. And the other individual that you guys spot is the guy that Rassler was beating the fuck out of in the shrine. Y'all remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He had him. He was beating him up. So as the four of them are walking down the stairs, stepping into what looks like a storeroom, there's crates, boxes, some bookshelves all around, some chests and whatnot. But there's also this gigantic mirror that is being hung alongside of the wall next to Rassler. Then to the left of the mirror is a small table, which looks like there is some pots or cups of some sort with liquid in it. And then to the left of that small table, there is another desk, or I should say there's a desk with a book, some scrolls and a candle and a chair that Rassler begins to walk towards. And you can see he is speaking with Brother Faust as he walks towards this chair, and Rassler slowly sits into it. And as Rassler sits into his chair, they are not aware of where you guys are. Let me ping. You're at the bottom of the map, technically. You see where I'm pinging in between the crates? So pretend that there's a painting along the wall, but you're hidden behind it. They don't know you're there. But as Rassler takes a seat, he slowly goes slump into this wooden chair. Let me get into the voice. I've been talking as Taraki.
Brother Faust, tell me, have you found the damned Yeki known as Taraki?
Unfortunately, Father, I have not.
What is taking the acolyte so long? It is one man! God should smite him where he stands! Why have we not captured him yet?
I'm not sure, Father, but I will get in the bottom of this.
The Lord watches us all, brother.
That is correct.
What about the damned? Those damned travelers.
Them sinners, Father?
Yes, them sinners, brother. What of them? I heard they stepped out of town. Where have they gone?
Hopefully they stay gone. Haven't heard from them since.
I'ma tell you this, brother. If those sinners step foot in Miyazu again, I ask you. I never mind. I command you to kindly bring them here to the shrine so that I can show them the way and the path to God. Do you hear me, brother?
Yes, we shall make them pay.
And as he's sitting there, he just holds his hand up.
What are you doing, wench? Get to work. And over you, give me a drink. Get me my drink. The Father's wine, the holy water, the Holy Spirit needs to be within me.
And as he's doing this, the Yeki woman, who is Taraki's sister, she steps behind Rassler and she begins to massage his shoulders.
Ah. That's what I'm talking about. Where is my drink, man?
And the man who was getting beaten, he walks over to that small table where the cups and the glasses are. He picks up this goblet, and there is a vase, a clear vase with red liquid. He begins to pour it into the goblet, and he walks around to Rastler as he hands Rastler this vase or this goblet. And he takes the goblet as the man steps back, and you can see Rastler begins to drink out of the goblet, and this red liquid pours and falls along the side of his mouth, down his cheeks, as he's gobbling it all up.
Father, spirits within me, the holy wine of retribution. Brother Faust, find this Taraki, bring him in, and bring those goddamn sinners to me now. I do not want to go another day without seeing those sinners chained here into the shrine so that I may deliver divine justice to them. Do you hear me, brother?
I hear you, Father. I make sure I will do your will.
Do not fail me, Brother Faust, for the other acolytes have failed me too many times. And if we all know the Lord himself does not accept failure, now I have to speak with the harbinger of retribution. And you know what that means, Brother Faust. The harbinger definitely does not take failure. And that I do not hope to tell him that we have any more of it. Do you understand me, brother?
Yes. Now, I shall do their will, or else shall die trying.
Now go find them sinners, and if they do not wish to join us in our cause of wrestlerism, then you may do what you need to deliver that divine punishment. But if you can convert them with the verdant whispers to follow our cause, then even better. Now off with you, Brother Faust. I am tired of looking at you. I am exhausted, and I must speak with the harbinger of retribution, and this is not going to be a fun conversation. Do you understand me?
I understand, Father. Praise God.
Praise him, brother. Off with you now.
And Brother Faust, at this point, you get the indication that Rastler wants you to leave. And then you all see Brother Faust is walking out up the stairs as Torami, the sister, is still massaging his shoulders. Rastler kicks his feet up onto this footrest as he's kicking off his shoes.
Sinner, massage my feet before I speak with the harbinger.
And you can see the man begins to massage his feet as he's sitting there.
And he's breathing heavily. God damn acolytes are useless, I tell you. I can't believe this yek, your brother. He eludes us at every moment. I shall have that sinner hung up in front of the townsfolk to show him and show them what it means to sin. I must speak with the harbinger. Off with the both of you. Out of here now. I must speak with him alone.
And he raises his hand as he's motioning them to leave. You can see the two of them nod, and they walk out the same stairs that Brother Faust did. And as they do so, the Dungeon Master has to catch his breath. Rastler sits up in his chair as he stands up. And you all can see him. He walks towards that mirror. As he grabs his robes, he begins to try and unwrinkle parts of it.
These damn sinners.
It's that time again, adventurers. We have more breaking information just for you.
So how many of you are either planning to or are currently working on your health and wellness? Do any of you find it difficult or even boring to do so? If so, then I've got just the pick-me-up to fuel your body and mind so that you can continue in on your adventures. Liquid IV is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. So you're probably wondering, what do I love most about Liquid IV? Well, for one, it comes in convenient packaging that allows me to take it on the go.
Not only can I bust it out at any moment, it makes me feel buffed and ready to take on any challenges that come my way. Think of it as a potion that helps increase your endurance. Who doesn't like being buffed? Just ask Rogar.
Oh yes, I love being buffed.
If you're someone who requires good taste, don't you worry. Liquid IV comes in plenty of different flavors that is guaranteed to quench your thirst. Tropical Punch, Watermelon, and Acai Berry are just a few of the flavors that you'll have access to. It contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. Liquid IV believes that equitable access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. So what are you waiting for? Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TAVERNSCAVERNS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TAVERNSCAVERNS at liquidiv.com. And now we continue our adventure. And he steps forward towards the mirror as he places his left hand onto the border of the mirror. Now, the mirror is nothing to really write home about. It's just a fairly large mirror. Nothing looks special about it. Its border is made out of wood. But he begins to chant. And as he's chanting, you all can hear and see this. He's chanting a spell. You just don't know what it is. It sounds magical. But as he's chanting, you can see the mirror begins to shift. Inside of the mirror, you can see a cloudy silhouette begin to form. I'm not going to make you make any rolls because you can see it clearly from your current position of what's going on. Rassler's not that tall, so you can see around him and over him. This cloudy silhouette begins to form into the mirror. And as it does so, you see Rassler, he takes off his hat, or whatever you want to call that Pope hat. He places it down onto the desk or the side table next to him. And he strains up as he's looking at the mirror.
Lord Firebring, I come to you with pleasant news from Ashai. My acolytes and I have traveled to a small town in Shimara, known as Miyazu. Throughout my travels, I have spread the influence of our Lord and Savior, our God, the Almighty Azatul. I have successfully convinced the residents of Miyazu to abandon the ways of the Omnikami and to accept the light of Rathlorism. Our goal is closer to being realized, my lord.
And as he says this, that cloudy figure in the mirror, you see eyes open, and it's this dark, intimidating orange that peers through that glass at Rassler. And you hear a voice you've never heard before.
You have proven yourself to be capable and efficient. Your determination is irrefutable, and your loyalty is admirable. However, you lack discretion. You have gained suspicion of weary individuals as quickly as you've gained followers.
Any that are suspicious of our cause is brought to justice by divine intervention of God. I shall smite down any that are foolish enough to challenge our cause, my lord.
The grandeur of your exploits in Dorwin, with defeating Archibald de Darkmoor, has garnered suspicion by the one known as Aviris de Darkmoor. The wench is perceptive in matters that typically do not concern her, Rassler. She has gathered information regarding you and your followers, and has been rather persistent in doing so.
That spoiled broad is far from Ashai, my lord. I highly doubt she would leave the comforts of her inherited wealth in order to pursue me. And even if she did, I would smite her down without question.
Your arrogance shall be your downfall if you do not tame it, Rassler. You have been warned.
Forgive me, my lord. I have spoken out of turn. It shall not happen again.
Be sure that it does not happen again, Rassler.
Your absence in Tirister may conceal you from the Octatic Divines and the Heptatic Evils, but it does not shield you from the prying eyes of mortals or the Omnikami of Ashai. Now tell me, what have you learned of the Yaksha and the corruption of Moritai?
The Yaksha are nothing but mortals and beasts that have succumbed to Moritai's corruption, my lord. The corruption of Moritai is powerful, and I believe it to even have the power to corrupt gods themselves. My acolytes have studied this corruption, and we have found similarities in the corruption's composition and that of the relic. We believe the similarities are tied to what you call the ethereal void. It is known that Moritai is the god of the void here in Ashai. Perhaps Moritai has escaped the same ethereal void that God is imprisoned in. It is too soon to say, however, I believe the traces left behind both the relic and the Yaksha is more than just a coincidence. Communicating with Moritai may be our best option. But how we communicate with him has yet to be discovered, my lord.
Finding out how Moritai escaped the void may very well help us in hastening the revival of retribution itself. Continue your research and find a way to speak with this Moritai. Gather what you can from this false god of the void, even if it costs you your life. For all shall bow down to the glory of our lord, Azatul.
Your word is my command, my lord. I shall not fail you. And as he says this, the silhouette of that cloudy figure begins to dissipate from the mirror. And once it does so, you all just see a normal mirror standing before you. Rassler quickly grabs his cap or his hat, puts it back onto his head, and he steps away from the mirror. Takes a deep breath, and he takes that goblet again as he pours more of that red liquid, which you would presume is wine, and he begins to chug it down his mouth again. And he slams the goblet down. He straightens his robes back up, and you can see he grabs his shoes and he puts them back on. And he begins to walk back up the stairs with a deep and heavy sigh. And as he walks out of the room, he leaves it empty for the five of you to really inspect it if you wish to do so. What does the party do?
Holy.
What the fuck? Your sister does massages?
She never used to do massages. I don't know what he did to her, but he is going to pay.
He gave her the Soli Soli juices.
Those massages? Don't worry, I'll save her.
Taraki looks at you.
What?
Whatever you're thinking, stop it.
I'm thinking we need to save her. She's in danger.
That she is. Let us go in. You can scour the room, look for any clues or evidence that you need to send back home to your friend. But be quiet about it. We don't know how far they are from the room.
Be quiet.
We don't know how much time we have. Now, looks like we're behind some kind of tapestry of a sort, maybe a painting. I'm going to carefully try and move it. We don't want them knowing we did a Kool-Aid man run through the wall, now do we?
He takes his hands, he tries to grab onto parts of this painting. It's very difficult to do so because he can't grab the borders of it. As he pushes on it slightly, you can feel the painting begin to fall off the wall. And he tries to catch it as the best as he can. And he almost makes a bit of sound, but he's able to catch it enough to where he is able to slide or slowly push to the side, allowing the party to step in. So go ahead and place your characters into the map of the storeroom. It looks like a storeroom anyways. There are torches all around the walls that are lit, lighting this room up. It's fairly dark without the torches, but you can see as you're looking around that there are some items laying around. If you wish to investigate or do whatever you want, you may do so.
I rolled a 13 on investigation.
As Stella is looking around with your 13 investigation, you can see...
Ooh, good perception, though.
You do have perception, natural 20. You're looking around. Yeah, your first thought's to look at that mirror. As you look at the mirror, you know, you don't hear anything coming from it. You don't see anything. It just, you just see your reflection at this point. But you also spot, obviously, there are crates full of supplies in this storeroom. But that desk Raster was sitting at, there is a book along with a couple of scrolls that are laid up on that desk that you seriously notice. Your perception, though, if you're hearing, you don't hear anyone nearby above the stairs. For the most part, you think they're gone for now, and you don't have to worry about anyone coming down at this time.
Well, Stella's in the mirror, checking herself out.
Anything, Hota?
Oh, no, checking off this desk here.
Hota with a 24. I'll say Roroy with a 10. Roroy, you're looking around. You don't really find all that much in the current area that you're in. But Hota, you find that book and the scrolls on that desk. You open the desk's drawer up and you find, you know, there's some quills, a few gold coins, but nothing else really. The thing that stands out really is the book sitting there.
Hey, Stella. Yeah, that's what I found. Check this book out.
Ooh. It has a cool cover. It's heavy.
And he kind of flicks his hand to open the cover. Oops. It was already open.
So the book looks old to you, Hota. It looks like it's ancient. The pages are extremely old, and the writing in it, you can just tell that it's many, many years old. You don't know how old it is, but it looks like a relic of some kind. Now, Raster did mention a relic. You don't know if this is that relic, but as you're looking, are you reading what's inside of it, like some of the pages, or are you like skimming through?
No, he's going to look around and see if anybody knows magic. Does anybody know some magic? Well, just in case I say a spell or something.
I'll try to do an arcana check.
Yeah, I know a thing or two.
Don't look at me. I don't know magic.
I just don't want to read a passage and we all turn into frogs.
Yeah, let's not have that happen.
Just don't read it out loud. Read it to yourself.
You want me to turn into a frog?
Then you can find a princess and she might kiss you. Not having too much luck in this form.
And she starts... She runs back to the mirror to pose again.
I'm liking this mirror.
Right, I'm going to start rating.
Make me that arcana check, Roy. So you're looking at the book with your arcana check. Roy, as you place your hand on the book, or if you don't place your hand, you're trying to sense any magic coming from it. You don't sense any magic at all coming from it.
Okay.
So as you read the book, I'm going to explain what the page says that you happen to land on, Hota.
Mm-hmm.
The book basically is talking about a particular god. And as you all have heard the name a couple times now, the name Azatl is mentioned in this book, or this passage in this book. And what I want you to know, from reading it, this is basically, I'm going to describe what it says. The forgotten god of pride, Azatl is said to be the most dangerous of Tirister's gods. During the time of gods and dragon lords, the heptatic evils grew wary of the strength Azatl had over them. Before Azatl could grow any stronger, the heptatic evils rallied amongst one another in order to defeat their brother. After betraying their own kin, they consumed the god, knowing that without a physical form, his essence could be trapped in another plane for eternity. That plane is known as the Ethereal Void. After doing so, the Heptatic Evils took Azatl's powers for themselves and made history without his name, leaving the god to be forgotten and unknown to the rest of the world. So basically, you are getting a snippet of information about this forgotten god of pride known as Azatl from Tirister. As you all know from season one, there are the Octatic Divines, which are the neutral and the good gods. And there's the Heptatic Evils, which are the evil gods. Everyone has always wondered why there have been eight
good gods and neutral gods, and only 7 evil. This book explains that there used to be 8 evil gods, and Azazel was the god of pride. However, he was betrayed by his siblings. His body was eaten. They took his strength and they casted his essence into what is known as the ethereal void. And ever since then, the world and history has long forgotten of this god. This Azazel is who Rassler and the rest of his acolytes and followers are trying to revive. That is what you gain from reading from the book, Hota.
Hota passes that information on and then wipes his brow. What have we stepped into, y'all?
What did you find out? What is it?
He conveys the message.
Why? Never mind, I know why. It seems this forgotten god of Tirister is trapped in the void known as the ethereal void, is what they called it. Moritai is the god of the void. He mentioned the essence of a relic, or the composition of the Yaksha's corruption is similar to that of a relic. They seek to speak with Moritai in order to find a way to retrieve their lost god from the void. This sounds like serious business that has nothing to do with a Shy, but could be everything to do with it if they get hold with Moritai. I don't like where this is going. Rassler must be killed.
Yes, but there's another problem. That evil god, whatever his name was, something Zottle, he doesn't have a form. So is this going to be a vessel, right?
If he doesn't have a physical form, he would require a vessel, I would think, to step into the plane, the material plane. So unless he comes back as a ghost of some kind, which does happen. I don't see that happen. That's a damn good question. Do you know any of this, Stella? You're from Tirister.
Oh, gosh. Listen. I don't know shit about fuck. At this point.
Who is this Averis de Darkmoor that he mentioned? Perhaps she will know.
Before I left Tirister, I didn't hear a bunch. But what I did hear, she was up to some shit. Some people called her the Skull Reaver, but that was just a rumor. She's really powerful, and apparently her siblings got killed. And her dad, too.
What she look like?
Well, they said she had hair like snow.
Go on.
That's all I know.
That's all I needed.
Taraki looks over at Yome. Is Yome writing all this shit down in that that scroll that Mizuno Amari sent her?
That quill should be on fire.
But Taraki's looking around.
Well, anything else of use here? I don't see anything. Perhaps we should continue looking around the shrine. I don't think they know we're here yet. It sounds like they're looking for you guys as well as me. There's no better time than now to get them while they least expect it.
You're not wrong.
Before we go, this chest right here along the wall. Can I check that out? See if there's a lock or anything like that in there?
Yeah, you may. And for Felicia, all I said was, is Yome writing down everything in that quill to Mizuno Amari?
Oh, shit. Yeah, she's going to take this time to write that stuff out. That's important.
Okay. Should I do a perception or investigation?
Make me an investigation.
Okay.
Ooh, 20. You got to look at the lock on that chest, and it the lock itself is unlocked. You're able to open it.
Okay. I'm just going to open it.
As you open the chest, you look down into it. There's just some simple supplies. Again, this is more a storeroom for the shrine. You see in that chest are some of the talismans that the townsfolk would have used in the shrine prior to it being taken over from Rastlerism. So you see a bunch of Omnikami like talismans and trinkets inside of it.
Yeah, he's going to leave that alone. He doesn't want anything to happen to it.
Okay. Anything else you guys do in the room? Or are you guys done so with this room?
We're pretty done.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Taraki looks at the rest of you.
All right. I've never been this low in the shrine, but these stairs lead up. I'm sure we'll come across whatever this relic is. He spoke about Yaksha and testing the composition of the corruption. I can only imagine them running tests of some kind. We might run into dead bodies of Yaksha, or perhaps others up above. Be prepared for battle. I feel like going forward, there is no returning from this point on. I doubt Rastler and his men will be thrilled to see us in the shrine. I hope you're ready for a possible battle ahead.
Sure.
Very well. Follow me and let us get to the bottom of this nonsense.
And he slowly begins to walk up the stairs. And as he does so, we will end this episode of Taverns and Caverns.
God damn, dude. I had to mute myself when you were a wrestler, man. I lost it.
Yep.
Lost it, man.
He was going in. Now he's like, give it up, goddamn. Not you using God's name in vain.
He said, get out. I'm done with you. Done looking at you.
Done looking at you.
That shit had me gone. He said,
wench, get over here. Start massaging my shoulders.
Bring me the drink, the Lord's drink.
Yep.
I hope I hit him spot on, though, man. That was hard to do.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Oh, my goodness. Well.
That was great, man. I laughed so fucking hard.
Eastside Pope, baby.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a scumbag, bro.
Two scumbags are in that room.
Brother Fouts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. If you enjoyed our shenanigans, we ask that you please leave us ratings and reviews on Apple iTunes or any other podcast platform that you use. Also, please be sure to check out the Taverns and Caverns Patreon for exclusive content that you won't want to miss. You can find me on Twitter at HaphazardDM.
Yo, I'm Bri. I play Stella. And you can follow me on Twitter at Blaze_NancyBriKing. Or NBK.
I am Robert Jones, and I played Hota Lupe. You can find me on YouTube, Trubone, TRUBONE.
I'm Felicia, and I play Yome. You can find me on Insta or Twitter at Dagger Tribal.
I'm Rodimus, playing Roroi Rice. You can find me on Twitter at Rodimus7901 or at Instagram at Rodimus83.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Those are all of our players and our cast members for Taverns of the Caverns Season 2. Until next time, take care.